But first up, as always, let's pick up with the latest news headlines. And this is from our partners at Bloomberg. Go, Charlie Pellett.
We are in the final days of the presidential campaign, with Donald Trump making his border argument to voters in New Mexico, a state that he lost to Democrats in both 2016 and 2020.
The people pouring across the border that are murderers, they're killers, they're drug addicts, they're drug dealers, they're gang members. Why, New Mexico wants to keep it going like it is. So, you know, we almost won it twice.
Kamala Harris says Donald Trump's comments that he would protect women, whether they like it or not, shows that the Republican presidential nominee does not understand women's rights to make decisions about their own lives, including their own bodies.
Listen, it's just, it actually is, I think, very offensive to women in terms of not understanding their agency, their authority, their right, and their ability to make decisions about their own lives.
A sell-off on Wall Street today, with declines for U.S. equities reflecting investor unease over tech giants, including Microsoft and Meta platforms. The S&P 500 index was down 108 points, down 1.9%. The Dow dropped 0.9%, while NASDAQ was down 512 points, a decline of 2.8%. So what would it take for the market to turn higher? Brooke May is managing partner at Evans May Wealth.
When we look at earnings going into 2025, we think earnings will be up about 15%. That takes us to about $275 in earnings on the S&P 500. If you apply a 21 multiple to that, you get $57.75, which is where we're trading today. So you can expect some give and take based on headlines whenever you're at this point in the market. All that said, we wouldn't be surprised if we hit 6,000 before year end. That's the trajectory we're on, and we see these pullbacks as buying opportunities.
Brooke May of Evans May Wealth interviewed on Bloomberg Business Week. After the bell, Apple reported weaker sales in China than anticipated last quarter, raising fresh concerns about one of its most important regions. Amazon projected profit and revenue in the current quarter that exceeded analyst estimates on optimism for a strong holiday shopping season. Intel gave a fourth quarter revenue forecast slightly above estimates, sparking optimism that it is capable of reclaiming some lost market share.
And look, let's just pick up on those overnight market moves. The S&P 500 index down by just about 2%, NASDAQ down by 2.75%. This is one of the toughest days that the American stock markets had in a while. As far as biz news portfolio stocks are concerned, Uber's results were not well greeted, down by nearly just over 9% by the market. Microsoft as well. We're going to hear in just a moment about these results. That from LA, from Anthony Ginsberg, it was down 6%. Palantir, 5%. Nvidia, 4.5%. Nvidia only reports, as does Palantir, well into November. And then Amazon, 3.5% down, despite the fact that Amazon's numbers actually beat what the market anticipated. Here in South Africa, just to bring you up to date, also a down day yesterday. The top 40 index lost just under 2%. Resources leading the way lower, nearly 4% down. Industrials, 1.5%. And in financials here were 0.5% weaker. The Rand at the moment, 17 Rand 60 against the US dollar and 22 Rand 70 against the pound. Big losers yesterday: Sibanye, AB InBev. AB InBev brought results out, so that's not good news there. Anglo Platinum, Impala, all of those 5% or more. And then on the upside, Astoria Investments, Pit Viljoen's company. Isn't that interesting? We talked to Pit on this program, and the next thing, his company's share price jumps. Anthony Ginsberg joins us now. Anthony, let's start off with those results and the way that the stock market reacted to, in particular, Amazon. I thought the numbers were excellent, and yet share price down 3.5% on a really poor day for shares.
Yes, Alec, it was a tough day. Greetings from a Halloween suffering market. But actually, these are speed bumps, quite frankly. They were very, very elevated expectations, Alec. Amazon actually shot the ball out of the park. The cloud numbers were up almost 20% year on year, and they had a 90% growth in their advertising revenue. So the numbers were actually very impressive. we actually think that between Google and Amazon, those were the two best performers this week for big tech. And there's a reason why Meta, we'll get to it in a moment, and Microsoft have suffered more. Interestingly, Amazon have actually kept their CapEx expenditure, which is concerning a lot of Wall Street analysts about the AI expenditures going through the roof. They've actually kept it relatively muted along with Apple, and they were rewarded. So Amazon's share price actually jumped after hours about 5%, Alec. By comparison, you've had Meta, Facebook down quite a lot, about 5%, and we also had Microsoft yesterday down about 6%. And those were basically because of elevated capital expenditures. They're basically spending about double their run rate from previous years. This is both Microsoft and Meta, and they got downgraded essentially by the likes of Wall Street. So that's what happened over there. But that's very specific just to Meta and to Microsoft.
Very good point you make, Anthony, and we forget it here in South Africa. When the market closes here, it closes, and that's the price. But in America, there is an aftermarket, and as a consequence of that, we need to pay close attention. So a little earlier in the program, I said, Amazon down by 3.5% despite good results. However, the aftermarket shows that was temporary, and it's gone up. Okay, what about Apple?
Well, Apple's got a bit of an overhang because of the Chinese market, Alec, but their revenues were up almost 7%. The best revenues actually year on year were, frankly, both Meta and Microsoft both had double digits. So by comparison, Apple's a slower mover, but it's coming off less expectations. You've got to remember, Facebook ran up almost 70% this year, Alex. So this is why, unless they had perfect earnings, it was going to be hit. I mean, it's been one of the best performers out there. Apple essentially hasn't been a wonderful performer this year. It's actually underperformed the S&P 500. So it's all relative. Of course, there's nervousness overhanging the U.S. election here. And one of the sleeping trades out here in California relates to the fact that a possible Trump victory would actually be a boost for M&A activity in the tech space. So a lot of overhang, people waiting to see what happens next Tuesday, because one of the first to be shown the door if Trump does win would be his antitrust, anti-monopolistic Federal Trade Commission leaders, who have actually blocked a number of big tech mergers, and even certain IPOs have been stopped based on issues with the federal government. So if there was to be a change from Biden-Harris to Trump, we could actually see a rally in tech stocks, Alec.
It's such an interesting point you make there. I was listening to an interview with Reid Hoffman, the man who started LinkedIn. And while he is endorsing Kamala Harris, he has said that one of the things that he does not like, or anybody in tech does not like, is this idea that the big companies can't buy any small companies anymore, he said, because it's really first-level thinking. If you can't buy the smaller companies, you're not going to see them emerging because they won't get capital from people like him to develop, and because there's no exit. And it is interesting to kind of contrast. And Trump gets it. Kamala Harris doesn't get it, clearly, or the Biden administration doesn't get it. But do we really need to pay that much attention if you're owning tech stocks to the result of the election?
Well, in our case, we've got this 2 billion rand ETF called this Tech Megatrend, and we've got 120 stocks in there. The mega caps sure make up about 10 to 15%, Alec, but we've got a number of smaller mid caps and large caps that are on the acquisition block, and those deals can't go through. So we think there will be a relief rally were Trump to win. Interestingly enough, for the first time, a lot of Silicon Valley, which is historically Democratic supportive, have actually swung over to Trump, so including Elon Musk famously. And if there's an efficiency czar with Elon in D.C. overseeing it, there'll be a lot more outsourcing to cybersecurity, to external AI providers, cloud providers. We've talked about it in the past, but cloud is really one of the massive drivers of this AI boom. And just very quickly, Amazon disappointed, actually. They only had a 19% gain in cloud. And you and I talked the other day that Google actually shot the lights out with 35%. Microsoft had 33% cloud gains. So it's very exciting times. These are almost like first cousins, but even cybersecurity is also interlinked. There's a lot of convergence across these technologies. It's incredibly difficult to time it. My main point really is it's not just the Magnificent Seven, Alec. There's a whole ecosystem out there of acquisitions that have been delayed, essentially, and the M&A activity has really ground to a bit of a halt over here.
So when you put it all together, five of the Magnificent Seven reported this past week. Just take us through the way that Anthony Ginsberg of Gins Global is looking at these. You did say earlier Alphabet was the star of the show. Maybe explain why and who was the one that disappointed you, and perhaps investors who own all seven should be looking at and considering maybe switching.
Well, there was also an overreaction with one of your favorites, Uber, which is down 11% overnight, Alec.
Wow.
But Uber is actually earning over $1 billion a quarter, and they've just gained something like a 70% year-on-year gain in membership to Uber. So there's just been this overreaction, quite frankly. We're most positive at the moment on Google, but also on Meta, as well as Microsoft. We think Microsoft is incredibly well-positioned, obviously with their ChatGPT OpenAI acquisition, but what's concerning some analysts, and they've probably overreacted overnight, is that the outlook for the fourth quarter has made some of them nervous that the spending percentage, just as a percentage of revenues, just interestingly, 25% of revenues are being spent on AI data centers. It's a massive game changer from a year ago. This is, in particular, Microsoft and Meta, whereas Amazon and Alphabet are spending about half of that rate, about 12 to 14% of their gross revenue. So it's made a few of the analysts rather nervous, particularly on the Meta story and Microsoft. So we're actually long-term very bullish. We see it actually as a buying opportunity, probably ahead of the election. We've actually put a little bit of money to work because there is this nervous overhang for the next couple of days here.
Okay, and the one you would not be putting money into?
Fair question. You know, when it comes to China, it's very questionable what's going on there with the economy. So we've been nervous about Alibaba for a while, as well as Baidu, just on the tech side specifically. And yes, Apple is a bit more exposed to China. And the reason people still will never sell Apple is their ecosystem is probably larger and bigger than most of the other tech players. So you can't really exit it. It's a long-term play, but we're probably less excited at the moment about Apple relative to Amazon and Alphabet.
So if I read you correctly, this pullback that we're seeing in tech stocks, particularly last night, if it continues, will present a buying opportunity, not a scare that there could be a crash.
Yeah, we basically see it as a speed bump. We think some of the Wall Street analysts were a bit blindsided by the fact that the CapEx that Zuckerberg and Meta and others, that they're just going to continue spending close on 25% of their annual revenues. It's a huge number and people have to get their head around it. But just fundamentally, this AI story, Alec, is dominated by the Magnificent Seven. It is a big boy story and it's very hard for the smaller players to get in. We actually see a lot more acquisitions coming down the pipeline. So for us, we've actually positioned a lot of our portfolio in our ETF in the large cap and mid cap space, predicting more acquisitions. We see cloud companies buying cybersecurity companies, so-called hyperscalers. So it's just a lot of movement in this space, but we're all waiting for this Tuesday overhang. So hopefully there will be a relief rally, and you may see quite a difference if Trump actually pulls through.
And that's the other point to summarize. Donald Trump would get rid of the antitrust czar who's been blocking takeovers by the big companies of smaller companies, and that would then release opportunities for the smaller companies to be bought. As you say, mergers and acquisitions would then take off in the tech space. If Kamala Harris wins, the antitrust czar will stay there, and she will then continue to block these kind of mergers with her approach to the economy. So that might see the reverse of a relief rally, maybe further declines in tech stocks.
Well, the other quick thing is that robotics is going to benefit, Alec, with more and more onshoring. Whether Harris wins or Trump wins, that we see more tariffs coming down the pipe, particularly with Trump. And that would mean that there's going to be more factory automation in the U.S. We know for a fact that the U.S. factory workers are not as competitive price-wise as overseas. And America has never automated to the extent that the South Koreans and the Japanese have. So we've actually bought into quite a few robotics companies who will help automate more of the car manufacturing and whatnot in this country. We're expecting a lot more tariffs being implemented. Expect more China trade wars if Trump is elected.
Anthony Ginsberg from Gins Global, thanks for joining us, Anthony. We really appreciate your contribution from the from where the tacky hits the tar. He lives in LA. That's pretty close to Silicon Valley, where all the action happens. And Anthony, as you can hear, is South African. He moved to the United States, to California, quite some time ago. And he is now running a very, very large portfolio of a company that he built himself.